emptied himself. The idea behind the word empty is pouring out, like you would pour out a glass of water. So Paul's words for us this morning is to take on a disposition that is poured out. Well, that's an interesting thought. What is our disposition? What is our, the definition of disposition would be a prevailing mood or spirit. What is our prevailing mood or spirit? Perhaps I'm thinking lately that the Lenten season has fully worn into my bones. Or it could also be the fact that Jenny and I are coming up to our year-end anniversary here of being your pastor, and the first year of being a lead pastor has kind of worn into my bones. Either way, whether it's the Lenten season or what it means to be pastor, I'm thinking a lot these days about how one learns the Lord's death. You know, how does one go about practicing crucifixion? I'm reminded about the time that I was standing in Jaron and Starla Rowell's kitchen. If you don't know Starla Rowell, she's a very bubbly personality, full of life. And we were celebrating birthdays. My birthday was one of the birthdays being celebrated. It was my 33rd birthday. We were celebrating 33 years of life, my 33rd birthday, and Starla comes into the kitchen, her eyes carrying the joy, almost like she's riding on a cloud, and she grabs me by the shoulders, and she looks me in the eyes, and she goes, "Ooh, the year of our Lord's death." What, Mom? What are you trying to tell me? I'm going to die this year? That's one way. That's a way to say happy birthday. It's also a harrowing reminder that there's a lot to live up to, that there's a lot to learn. Not the type of learning that's intellectual, though I think that's part of it, but more like the learning that forms deep within us a new way to be. A reshaping my entire way of thinking and being. That is learning a disposition. You may find this funny. I'm certain you're going to find it weird. But I have long given up hope that the peculiar people of God can be anything but weird. We are just destined to be weird. But it's our Lord's death that got me into this pastoring gig anyway. Well, that and Jaron's email that came to me on a Tuesday morning that interrupted a perfectly fine staff meeting. It took two sentences is all it took to completely unravel any type of usefulness I would have in life. I've told you this story before, but I want to reiterate it. My vocational life was in flux when I received that email. I was trying to make sense of where I was serving and what God was calling me toward. And during this period, this is a story that I told you, during this period, all of my prayers, they seemed to come back to the resting image of Christ on the cross. It's from this vantage point, Jesus crushed, bruised, and broken, that I sensed him inviting me to take my place with him. To climb on up to that brutal device and kind of sink into his chest and rest with him on the cross. An invitation to take on his disposition, his form, so to speak. Jake, the Overland Park suburbanite, and Jesus, the tattered and slain Lamb of God. How does one from the suburbs learn to die like one from Galilee? Don't get me wrong. It was a peaceful vision. A joyful vision, really. I was never harassed. I was never shamed. I was never guilted. The pain of crucifixion was never emphasized. Just a simple and persistent call to come and rest. And to see what it might mean to shepherd as one nailed to a tree. That was my call to pastor you. That was my call to pastor the people of God. truthfully, Andy, I had no idea the invitation I was accepting. I have no idea the invitation I keep accepting. Just that it was a peaceful call. I'm discovering that this vantage point, that this disposition, that it's a lot like marriage. When I recited the pastoral vows over you, I don't know if you remember that day. I remember it like it was yesterday. I stood right here, and I can't remember what I said. I can only remember what I felt. But I said a bunch of things over you. What I felt married to you. I felt like you were the bride, and I was holding your hand, and I was committing my life to you. My life was being bound to yours in a way that I knew that I no longer lived, not on my own. I knew that in that moment, that as we were walking through the covenant of installation, I knew that this would be a mutual doing, that we would be in this together. I'll give all of me. I'll open my life, my family, and my home, and I'll pour out every bit of passion and love and hope that I can muster right into you. I'm going to show up at your ball games. I knew this. I'm holding your hand here as we're reciting this. In my mind, it felt like I was holding your hand, and I'm committing my life to you, my time to you, that I'll meet you for coffee, and that I'll eat all the deviled eggs at the potlucks. That's not true. I wish that was true. In fact, those things are always gone by the time I get there. There was like a case of 50 deviled eggs on Friday, and they were all gone. Whoever is the hoarder of deviled eggs, stop it. Share. I'll be there. Touché. Touché. I'll be there in the hospital regardless of time of night. And if we need to drive around town until the world's problems are all solved, I'm your person. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to stand before the table of our Lord and proclaim the Lord's death and resurrection to you. I'm going to wade in the baptismal font with you as the water reminds us of new creation. And I'm going to hold your babies and extend my hands at the end of each service and offer you a blessing. I'm going to gently lead you with all that I am and with every available hour. I'm going to give my life to you. All of my life to you. I have something to say after this, but I want to stop here. And I'm realizing we're going to be insanely early today. And so when we get done here in a few minutes, someone will need to go let the children's ministry know that for once, I preached under 20 minutes. I just want to tell you that I believe that that is happening, but I will make mistakes. There's going to be a section in this manuscript, and I want you, if you need to, if it's grace for you today, I want you to lean into it, where I talk about the times that I deny leaning into the death of Christ. I've done that since I've been your pastor. It often comes out in comments I wish I could get back. Times where I've been afraid, where I've been anxious, and I've made comments that don't belong behind a pulpit. I'm going to continue to give all my life to you and ask for God's grace to help me to preach the truth and the gospel. Okay? I just want you to know that I am sorry for those moments. I recognize them. And I ask for your forgiveness. But that this marriage that happened here on June 5th, 2016, that I take that very seriously. That does not mean that I'm right, that I am CEO and you are my minions and I boss you around. No. I've been under pastors like that. Not my dad, other pastors. Lord, forgive us. That is not what the pastorate is. I hope
to show you what the pastorate is here. The truth be told, all those things that I just said I would do for you, I'm not strong enough to do those things. However, there is a strength that comes in the power of whatever holds Jesus to the cross. I'm wondering if it's not his obedience. There is a redeeming power at work, restoring and accomplishing all of God's purposes for the world. From this vantage point, the vantage point of me joining whatever holds Jesus to the cross, it's not my life being poured out for the congregation at New Beginnings Church, but the Son of God's. As I'm bound to the cross of Christ so that I no longer live, it is the life of Christ being poured out upon you. All of God. All of God for all of you. I suppose that this is the reason why God used the cross to call me to ministry. In this way, I am learning the Lord's death, the disposition of Jesus. Pastoral ministry, that's what I would say pastoral ministry is. Pastoral ministry is not all that different from discipleship. Hi, Jeremy. Paul calls all believers to take the disposition of Jesus. Do you remember verse 5? Have the same mind. That's disposition. Have the same disposition that was in Jesus Christ. Following Jesus is also like a marriage. If you're not married today, it's also like dating. If you're not dating today, you'll find out. It requires a very distinct... I didn't know. I was trying to come up with something quick, and nothing came to mind. It requires a very distinct form, the form of a cross. Don't get me wrong. This is a peaceful form. It's not a shameful form. It's not a guilty form. It's a graceful form. It's a form full of life and light. But it will cost you all that you have, so that all that you are is bound up in all of God for the life of the world. Each day, we are given 1,000 opportunities. It was more poetic the way I wrote it. Let me back up. Each day we're given the opportunity to die 1,000 deaths. Sometimes we choose our own life over Christ. This is where I've made mistakes in the past. This is where you've made mistakes in the past. And those are our worst days, are they not? They usually have something to do with power and people that don't listen. Am I right? Yeah, man, I tell you what, when we're choosing ourselves over Christ, it's funny how no one thinks we're as great as we think we are. And how no one listens to the best ideas that we have. But from time to time, you and I, we climb on up to that dying tree. And we rest there in the peaceful embrace of Jesus, letting him form us into his disposition. These are our best days. These are the days where you can see seedlings take root and new creation burst forth. Have the same disposition that is in the crucified and resurrected Lord Jesus. Poured out, humbled, obedient, crucified with Christ so that you no longer live, but that Christ has been formed in you and the life you live is his. Kevin, you can come. Did you notice what God was up to in the second stanza of Philippians 5 through 11? The second half of our passage this morning. God raises Jesus up, exalts him, And at the sound of his very name, every knee bows and every tongue confesses. The one that pours out his life on a tree is Lord. Discipleship is simple in concept. Anyone wanting to follow Jesus, might I just add, I'm looking at a room full of disciples. I don't think there's not a single person that I see here that wouldn't identify Jesus as their Lord. That this invitation comes to us every single day. Whether this is your 1,000th day as a disciple or your 3rd. It's simple in concept. Anyone wanting to follow Jesus must first pick up their cross and follow him. Are you willing to pour your life out? Then take your place upon that dying tree and rest in the one who is poured out for all. This invitation comes moment by moment, and the result is the world will bow and every tongue confess at the Lordship of Jesus when we die out and let the love of Christ be poured out from our disposition. So church, would you take the disposition that was in Christ Jesus? Though he did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, he emptied himself. Would you take this disposition? The disposition of a slave and one of human likeness and one being found in human form. Will you humble yourself? I need this today probably more than you do. Will you become obedient to the point of death so that your agenda no longer reigns? So that your self-interests aren't number one in everything that you do. So that you aren't the most powerful person in every conversation that you have. Will you become obedient? Obedient to the point of death. Even death on a criminal's cross. So that God might be highly exalted in your life. So that you no longer live, but that Christ lives in you. Could you imagine your coworker's face? He'd flip out if you took on the disposition of Jesus. Could you imagine your spouse's reaction when you begin to do dishes like the disposition of Jesus? Washing feet and serving others and cleaning things you haven't cleaned in years and taking garbage out that you haven't taken in years and giving yourself to your wife like Christ gives himself to you. Can you imagine your daughter and your son as you are pouring your life out to them in the same way that Christ pours his life out to you to take the disposition of Jesus? Can you imagine what our community will do when this church starts pouring themselves out the same way that Jesus poured himself out to us? We ain't gonna get it right. 9 out of 10 times probably we're gonna fail. And I'm making these stats up on the spot. But 10% of the time, we'll get it right, Ron. We'll come together as a family. We'll climb on up to that dying tree and we'll let Jesus be poured out for all. As the kids come in, I want to ask you a question. Can you imagine what the world will see when we take the disposition of Jesus?